of us, all of us, set the f- up, work harder, recover, watch more film. I'm tired of losing. It hurts my heart. I'm tired of losing at home. We need to get this together. Come on. Let's go, man. I love y'all boys, man. Let's go, man. Come on, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. I'm f***ing tired. Let's go.
Our Father, who art in heaven.
Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Buffalo. The Coyotes start this massive road trip of 14 games at 2-0. 23 seconds into the game, Buffalo turns the puck over near their own net. Michelli with the steal. Quick pass to the far side of the net to Kraus, and he puts it home.
Anytime you can play with a lead in this league, it's obviously beneficial to the end game. And, you know, we did a great job ever since then. And
head coach Andre Tourney.
We have a ton of respect for Buffalo. The way they create their offense, their possession team, you know, their D are really active offensively. So for all those reasons, taking the lead early was really good for us.
In soccer, they're called own goals. The next two goals were scored by Coyotes, but deflected in net off of Buffalo Sabre Dylan Cousins. Yes, the same guy scored on his own net twice. The Buffalo power play only went 1 of 6 on the day, and Clayton Keller added an empty netter. Coyotes win 4-1. Now they get the gift of 4 days in the same city. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're in New York. Lawson Kraus, you've got the Islanders tomorrow at 5:30.
Yes, it's fun. You know, we're all having fun in there. We're working hard. Obviously, it's paying off for us, so... you know, excited to get to New York. This is obviously one of the trips that the entire team looks forward to.
Sun small forward Cam Johnson, successful meniscus surgery. A piece of his meniscus was removed from his right knee. He's listed now as out 1 to 2 months. If you split the difference, that has him coming back on Christmas. Possibly good news for Chris Paul as well. CP3 is listed as questionable already for tonight's game, coming back from a heel injury. Suns take on the T-Wolves in Minnesota at 6 o'clock tonight.
We need to step the f*** up! All of us! All of us!
The trailer of Hard Knocks, which starts today, dropped yesterday with safety Buda Baker. The opponent this week, the Rams, and they're suffering a lot of dysfunction.
The Rams are 2 games under .500 for the first time since you got there.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That's a frustrated Sean McVay who knew his disgusting college would lose 37-21 in the Battle of the Bricks last night. Ha! One member of the media said, I got one question, point blank. Is winning the division still available to you?
My focus and concentration is on the Cardinals. I would never say that there's not an opportunity for us to do that, but we've got to start handling our business the right way for that to be a conversation that, you know, that has merit to it.
D-backs lost two pitchers yesterday, one by their choice, one by his choice. Ian Kennedy had a mutual option between the two of them, and the team declined that, while Zach Davies had a player option, and Davies said, I want to be a free agent. And the World Series ratings came in. Phillies Astros, second lowest rated World Series in the history of television. College football playoff rankings announced. Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan, TCU 1-4. Looking better for the Pac-12 as Oregon and USC are number 6 and 8, and they don't play this year. Could be meeting in the Pac-12 championship game for a berth in the playoff. And finally,
after hearing screams for help coming from the water just across the street.
Last Friday night, Finn Connor and his dad Ryan went to the Celtics game in Boston. When the 18-year-old heard noises coming from the water just across the street from the arena.
And I run down the bank, get in the water, and try to get out to them. They're maybe 5 or 10 feet offshore.
That's when Finn helped bring the unconscious man to shore, his father helping to pull him up.
The man survived. And what did Finn Connor do the next morning? He took his SAT.
And look there, in the wild. You can see it. It's camouflage, hiding it somewhat. A bobcat, ready to pounce. Its potential victim, a red hawk. He stalks. He pounces. Oh! Beauty of nature. The red hawk. Now a prize bird for the children of the cat. I told you. I told you that that evil school from the eastern portion of Ohio eats their own children. And we just saved us all from the forces of evil by a final score of 37-21. Go, Bobcats. Yeah. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Whatever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to the coverage of the four major sports franchises of one great American city that drops on your phone every weekday morning. Plus, ASU, U of A, GCU, the Rattlers, the Rising, and the Merc. Ah! This is Doug Franz Unplugged. See? When the Bobcats do it, I do it. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, yeah. That's got to get some fire in the belly. Yes, I love my Bobcats that much. And now there's a chance we will win our first MAC title since the 1960s as the Ohio Bobcats are in first place in the MAC East. And as long as we don't choke, we go to the MAC championship game, where we will be the better team. However, we've been to the MAC championship game about three times. I have to look it up. About three times in the last 10 years, and we've lost all three. So let's go. Let's go. Hey, how was your Tuesday? Good luck for the propositions and the candidates that you voted for. I hope that Election Day makes you well. And if it doesn't, well, don't worry. You can change the world in 2 years. That is the beauty of the greatest country in the history of mankind. Thanks a lot to all the first responders and that kept everything safe yesterday. And thanks a lot to the troops who gave us the right to even remotely change the fortunes of our country or keep them going the same, depending on your point of view, because a man or a woman sacrificed everything for our country's freedom. And it's great to be a part of the greatest nation in the history of the world. I'm really happy. I am really happy. Yesterday, I had a really nice meeting with Alex, a friend of mine who has helped out and helped me with Doug Franz Unplugged for free ever since the show started. So I owe Alex so much, and had a good time with him. And then on my way home, I called someone who could really hold the fortunes of the Franz family in the palm of his hand. And we had a fantastic conversation. We had a fantastic conversation, and it was nothing was offered to me. But the conversation just made you feel really good that, you know what, something might break here. Something might break here that's a positive. And I have you to thank. I have you to thank for keeping the Franz family afloat. And I owe you everything, and I won't forget it. And therefore, I'm never getting rid of Doug Franz Unplugged, no matter what happens in my life. It might shorten. It might change. Like yesterday, 2.5 hours, but I felt like that's what you needed. That's what there was. I want to cover everything. For right now. Now, if the day comes where my situation changes and I can't do it, then this will become a one topic podcast. I'll do the 4 minute offense. I'll give you whatever I think is the number one topic of the day from last night, give my opinions on it, and then we'll do Versus Vegas presented by KingCappers.com. And they're hot again, by the way. And then that'll be a much shorter version, probably 30, 45 minutes, and we're done. But I'll still need you. You know, I'll still need you every step of the way. So please be a part of that. Okay, sound credits. I got the Jalen Ramsey from NFL.com. I got all the Sean McVay from LA or from TheRams.com. The Coyote sent me the Lawson Krause, and I got the Buda Baker trailer of Hard Knocks from NFL.com. And I butchered where I got that great story of the teenager in Boston saving the drowning man. It was a TV station. I pulled it two days ago for yesterday's show, but 4 minute offense was too full for me to use it. So I saved it until today, but then I can't find my notes on where I pulled it from. So I owe somebody a beer in Boston. So if you want to represent that Boston TV station, go right ahead.
Doug's Big One.
Doug's Big One today is only four words. Granted, I'll expound, but it's only four words. But before I give you the four words, I've got to play something that you've already heard on Doug Franz Unplugged today. Sometime in the middle of the afternoon, the Buda Baker speech dropped. So the Cardinals lose at home last week, and today is the first day of the Hard Knocks in season following the Arizona Cardinals. And their trailer is the Buda Baker speech that you just heard that is following the Cardinals' loss, I believe, at home to Seattle. I'm not entirely sure, but I believe it's the home loss to Seattle, but I'm not sure. And it's pretty powerful. So I'll give you Doug's Big One in just a second, but to refresh, this is Hard Knocks trailer, safety Buda Baker. Imagine the locker room. You probably have seen the inside of the State Farm Stadium locker room before, because that's where that Kyler Murray mortgage company commercial was filmed when he was throwing the football around the locker room. That's the actual stadium locker room. And so you've seen it. So imagine all the players in there, all the players on a knee, and even staff on a knee. I saw a couple team doctors in the back on a knee, and Buda Baker standing up in the middle of a circle that's gathered around him. That's the visual you've got when Buda Baker starts.
We need to step the f*** up. All of us. Step the f*** up. Work harder. F***ing recover. Watch more film. I'm tired of losing. Hurts my heart. I'm tired of losing at home. We need to get this together. Come on. Let's go, man. I love y'all boys, man. Let's go, man. Come on. I'm tired of it. I'm f***ing tired. Let's go.
Our Father.
Doug's Big One today. Why isn't that Kyler? Buda Baker's a leader on the team. He can say whatever he wants. And what Buda Baker brings to the table is everything you want in a football player. Everything. And reports surfaced later just how bad his ankle sprain was that he played on for that game. And maybe I'm dead wrong. Maybe it's not the Seattle game. My point is, Buda, go ahead. Say whatever you want. You're a leader. You deserve it. And the team needed to hear that. But does anybody look at this situation in this team and say, boy, that's interesting. Where's Kyler? Where is Kyler? With yesterday being an off day for two things, the NBA total off day yesterday because the players' union had an interesting point of view that said they really want to highlight the nation's elections and not have anybody, A, be distracted by trying to get to an NBA game, but at the same time make sure all their players could handle all of their business to get their ballots counted, and some other reasons just to highlight the importance of Election Day. So there's no Suns yesterday, and Tuesday's the typical off day for all NFL teams. So with that, I decided to go back to Monday, and I want to highlight some of the Rams situation. And in order to do it, you've got to go all the way back to Sunday. So this is a fascinating game of basically declare somebody dead. Whoever loses Rams-Cardinals is basically a dead team. Both teams are sitting with three wins. The catch is the Rams have already had their bye. So LA is 3-5. Cardinals are 3-6, traveling to Los Angeles. You're not making the playoffs as a 3-7 football team. And you're probably not making the playoffs as a 3-6 football team, either of them. If the Rams lose, they're the ones that are 3-6. You win, you're either 4-6 if you're the Cardinals or 4-5 if you're the Rams, and you got a little life. And more specifically for the Rams, you have the sweep on the Arizona Cardinals then. Cardinals lost at home to the Rams in week 3. So not only if a loss to the Rams would drop you to 3-7 on the year, but you can't end in a tie with the Rams because they own the tiebreaker. And you don't want to be in a massive tie. The way the tiebreaker works is if you're tied with anybody in your division, you've got to break that tie first before you advance. So let's say the Cardinals are in a tie for the 7th spot and to barely make the playoffs. But it's them, the Rams, and say like the Packers save their season and maybe somebody from the NFC East. Well, the Cardinals get eliminated first in the tiebreaker because the Rams eliminate them. So you not only are sitting at 3-7, but you can't go into a tie with the Rams, who are pretty pathetic at 4-6. So you're screwed. You've got, I mean, you talk about must win. I don't think they're making the playoffs by any stretch of the imagination. The Cardinals have to go 6-2 to have a chance, 7-1 to be legitimate and to make the playoffs. And what in the world have you seen from this franchise that'll led you to believe they'll go 7-1 the rest of the way? I think you're with me. No, they won't. But if you want to make the playoffs, you've got to win this game against the Rams. There's no hope. So that sets the stage for where both franchises are. You get that response from Buddha that we'll see on Hard Knocks today. Full disclosure, I have not seen it yet. I'm going to watch it after I wake up. But, you know, I'll go to bed after this and then watch Hard Knocks. I was pretty busy last night watching my Bobcats now. I could have stayed up, tried to get some of the podcast done, and then watched Hard Knocks at midnight and given you a report on it. I might try to do that next week, but not this week. Not with something as important as Ohio and them, okay? I mean, priorities. Let's go here. Anyway, and I want to watch Andor today. You know, it is Wednesday. So now getting back on topic. With the Rams, it took me a second to remember what the topic was. With the Rams' struggles last week, if you didn't see it, they're beating Tampa Bay. And I'm trying to go back through the game in my head. Tampa Bay doesn't convert a fourth down inside the Rams' 10. So the defense gets a major stop to, in their mind, seal the game. First and 10. 90, 92 yards to go for the Rams offense. But truthfully, you need one first down. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had all three of their timeouts. So if you get a first down, you probably win. You get two first downs, you're guaranteed to win. So that's the situation. And what do the Rams offense do? They go 3 and out. Yes, they made Tampa Bay use all of their timeouts, but they go 3 and out. Tom Brady drives the Bucs back down the field, scores a touchdown with 9 seconds left. Rams lose. So this is all-world defensive player and defensive back, I don't know, defensive player, defensive back Jalen Ramsey after the game.
You're going to have some dogs who are going to go get it. Be like we shouldn't come to the sideline after a big stop like that and our coaches or the other side or whoever telling us, man, y'all, we're going to need y'all one more time. Like, what the f***? We made a big stop, turnover on downs with a minute and some change left and no timeouts for nobody. You got to have some dogs. It's like, man, f*** all that. We going to end this game right now.
Now, truthfully, the Buccaneers did have their timeouts, so he's wrong about that. There's a couple things here. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers won a game with 16 points. So, therefore, there's no doubt Jalen Ramsey is right if he's mad at this pathetic offense for the Rams saying we've done enough to win that game. But I'll be the first one to say, you know, you are wrong when you have that type of attitude of, hey, you let the Buccaneers score on that drive. I mean, no matter what is said, what was your job? You're on the field when the team loses. So I'll be the first one to say, come on, offense. I mean, it is all their fault. But I don't like any player who sounds off like that publicly. Privately, I think it's fantastic. I think it's fantastic. You guys couldn't get a first down to win a game that you had only mustered 13 points in anyway. So as a whole, of course, it's them. But that's the drama right now that the Rams are fighting. You can see it. I don't know if it's happening with the Cardinals. I don't think it is, because how can any one side of the ball blame another side of the ball? You know? The offense has been pathetic most of the year, but there have been times they've scored, and when they've given the team the lead, like the game against Seattle, Seattle marches right back down the field with a couple touchdowns. So I don't see how one side of the ball for the Cardinals could be mad at the other. They can all be mad collectively at their record, but I don't think they can be blaming one side of the ball. The Rams, it's the opposite. They can totally be blaming the offense. The offense has been terrible. So that is Jalen Ramsey from Sunday and their loss to Tampa Bay. Here is Sean McVay Monday at the presser that's basically mandatory for every NFL coach, unless they're on a bye, to discuss with the media what happened in the game the day before. And Sean McVay was asked how he feels about the comments of Jalen Ramsey.
Oh, yeah, of course. You know, I talked to Jalen, and I am aware of those things. I talked with him this morning. Jalen's a great competitor. You know, he would say the same thing on the defensive side of the ball if the roles were reversed. So he's always going to be honest. He wants to win. He's passionate about this. He is supportive of his teammates, but he wants them to want to do well and wants them to expect to do well and have that confidence that's exuded. And that's no different than when you hear him talk to his fellow teammates on the defensive side of the ball. If there's got to be an opportunity to be able to rise up and make a play, or if there hasn't been that delivered in certain instances over the last few years. So Jalen is consistent. That's consistent with his demeanor. And I know where he's coming from in terms of wanting to win, wanting to compete, and wanting his teammates to expect to do well and have the confidence to close out those games. And so I think his teammates know that, his coaches know that. So I know where he's coming from, and it's all with the right intentions.
I'm not going to say that's a bunch of crap, but I guarantee you that's not what he said to Jalen Ramsey. So he'll say that to us, but that's not what he said to Jalen Ramsey. What he said to Jalen Ramsey was, Jalen, I agree with everything you said, and you taking a stand like this shows leadership. But we don't need you to lead through the media. As soon as you say that, the Cardinals know there's cracks in our armor. As soon as you say that, now the media is going to run around and say, Jalen Ramsey said this about your unit. Jalen Ramsey said this. We don't need the media coming around here trying to get answers. We need to find the answers in-house. Are you with me? I mean, do you see that? I know you're frustrated. Everything you said was right, but say it to your teammates. Don't say it to the outside world. And I'm interested to see how Jalen Ramsey handles this. If Jalen Ramsey apologizes to the offense and says, I don't take back anything I said, but I take back who I said it to. I let all of you down. Man, it's over. I mean, that whole thing is over immediately. And you would be a jerk if you're on offense and you hold a grudge against Jalen Ramsey calling you out when he apologized about calling you out to the media. Because then, if you're still bent out of shape, you're acting like, hey, it's true, buddy. Whatever he said, no matter how bad he hurt your feelings, it's true. So I think the Rams are going to have that extra fire, and it's something that we don't know about with the Cardinals at all. Because what kind of fire have we ever seen from them? You know, none. So I don't know. I mean, this does not bode well to me. It's ridiculous to assume anybody knows who's going to win, because both teams are playing like trash. But I do think the Rams issues are a lot more fixable, because no matter how we look at it, Sean McVay is an actual genius and Cliff Kingsbury is a pretend one, a marketing ploy. So, and they have better talent. And oh, by the way, they've got Aaron Donald. No matter how we look at this game, only one team has to game plan against Aaron Donald. So I hope you like that I'm doing this. It's not very often we look at the other team, but I think since both teams are in such a strange spot, and really the same spot at either 3-6 or 3-5, And the fact that Tuesdays are a little bit of a different day in the NFL, there is an actual sound from Cliff Kingsbury or nothing from the Cardinals players because they have the day off. I think it's a good day to really study the Rams. And hopefully it might make you feel better. If we study the Rams, maybe we'll feel like, hey, they're in a worse position than we are. So Sean McVay was asked, okay, this is a clear sign of frustration from the players. How do you handle it? What are you going to say to the defense for the fact that they feel like the offense is just going to let them down? What do you say to the offense? How do you handle this level of player frustration internally in the locker room?
Hey, tell them the truth. You know, I mean, I believe everybody wants to do right. The one thing, Jordan, is this is not for lack of, you know, competing as hard as these guys can. And football is such a complex game because it is a team sport, but there's three different phases that are all on the field at different times. And so we always talk about staying connected, but I think you have to be honest and acknowledge the things that led to where we're at. If one side of the ball is playing better than the other or giving you a better chance to be able to win, I think you have to be truthful about that. And there's been different times, whether it's, you know, teams here or teams I've been a part of where, you know, that's part of it. And we got to be able to continue to figure out how to play the best that we can for this team, and figuring that out to try to win games is a little bit different just based on all those things that you're talking about. But ultimately the best way is the connection and the communication and the clear, open and honest communication that exists relative to some of the struggles that are going on one side of the ball or the other.
It's really about how you look at yourself in this situation. If you're a member of the offense and you see how well the defense is doing and how poorly you're doing, do you blame yourself or do you blame your other offensive teammates? Because if you can't handle the comments of Jalen Ramsey, that's kind of a you problem. And again, I want to repeat, Jalen Ramsey should never have said that to the media, but name one thing that's wrong about him saying that in private. I don't see how you could possibly have a problem with what he said if you're just saying it in the locker room and keeping it in-house. I mean, there's a way to sugarcoat it. There's a way to say, guys, I know I've let us down before. I know there's been games where this offense carried us on defense, but this is no longer just one game. This is now a theme of the season, and you guys got to get your crap together. I don't know what you've got to do. I don't know if you need to stay extra. I don't know if we need to do more good on good. I don't know if we have to bring out the pads, and if you need to hit me, okay. But let's go, because right now, you're the problem. And that, to me, is leadership. Because it's not only calling somebody out, but then it's coming up with solutions. I don't want to tell you this situation, but I have so much respect for my wife for one thing that she did where she saw a major problem with a situation that was totally out of her control. And she approached an authority figure of that, I guess, company is the way to put it, and set up a meeting, addressed the problem, and then said, now, I do something in my daily life that's kind of similar, so here would be my solutions on how I overcome the problems that's happening that I see as an outsider. They offered her a job. I mean, how amazing is that story? They said everybody has a complaint. Nobody comes in here with solutions. They offered her a job. I just think that's a fantastic story. And I'm looking at this situation, A, totally forgetting why I brought that story up. I don't know why. My mind's kind of drifting today. I'm so jacked up about the Bobcats win. I'm having a hard time being professional and focused on what I'm doing. Oh, okay, I remember. But imagine if he said, let's bring out the pads. Imagine if he said, let's do more good on good, which is a phrase where the ones take on the ones, which happens all the time in camp, but doesn't happen a lot during the season. Although the Cardinals supposedly do it a little more than most. But if Ramsey is saying, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make you guys good, that's the definition of leadership. If you're just sitting there complaining, well, you're right in what you're saying, but you're not really part of the solution either. So this is a drama-filled team right now. And if the offensive players take offense to it, the Cardinals are going to win. If there's more of a galvanization that comes on what was said, then the Cardinals have no chance. But it's so amazing that it juxtaposes right with our knowledge now with a Buda Baker speech. What's that going to do to the Cardinals? How are they going to react to that? I can't wait to watch. Again, I can't wait to watch the Hard Knocks because I'm dying to know, am I right that that was the Seattle game? Or are we going to find out that was earlier in the year and nothing's happened? Nothing's happened. And the Cardinals haven't gotten any better. If that's the case, oh boy, this team is sunk. But if that's Buda Baker from the Seattle loss, okay. Now let's see how the team responds to their leader challenging them to that level and showing that level of passion. When Sean McVay was answering that question, he dropped the phrase Jordan. And he learns the first name of everybody in the media, and then he will repeat that. It's a brilliant, you know, a coach is brilliant when they do that for two reasons. One, they're smart enough to remember everybody's name, which is a talent. But number two, I hate to admit that it matters, but it's a way that you suck up to the media that you kind of feel important as a member of the media. And I mean, doesn't that happen to you? If somebody's just talking to you, you've only met them once and they say your first name and you're like, hey, that's awesome. I appreciate that you spent the time I made enough of an impression that you remembered my name. And it creates maybe a false bond, but you're subconsciously a little less likely to rip them, a little less likely to challenge them on a point. I know this because I struggled with that early in my career. There was a head coach by the name of Jim Grobe who would always call me Doug. And I was just so impressed by that. And I had so much respect for him that if he made a bad decision, I never would rip him because I just appreciated him so much as a person. And it took me a while and a little more maturity to say, okay, how do I do both? I can respect him in his presence, and I can respectfully disagree with him when I'm doing my talk show and show him as a man the respect he deserves. But that I can't let that affect my opinion. And I can't let that affect what I say. I can allow it to affect the delivery, and I can allow it to affect how I preface an opinion to be fair to the person. But I can't let it affect what I say. And I did when I was younger. And you learn over time to not allow that to affect you. So that was the first question from Jordan. And now Jordan has a second question in which it's short and sweet, but it shows you how brilliant it is. I played it for you in the 4-minute offense already.
Hey, Sean, along the theme of the interior offensive line, are you going to look into mixing up personnel on that left side this week?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Ding, she nailed it. Jordan Rodriguez is her name. She covers the Rams for The Athletic and then some LA sports in general. She used to work on the website of the old show, of the old company. And because of that, I feel like I know her well. I really like her stuff. She's a wonderful person. She stopped returning my text, so I don't know if I've alienated her or if she just got a new phone. We're going to vote the latter and hope that's it because she was always nice to me. But I have a lot of respect for her. And That's a nails question, because when you hear a head coach early in the week say that's a possibility, that's one of those, man, that thing's done, or it's what I want to do, but we haven't talked with the O-line coach. I haven't talked to the player yet. I'm not willing to go public with this, so we'll just say it's a possibility. And he didn't expound on it, because usually Sean McVay is so good with the press. He'll talk for a long time on one question to try to almost control the question and divert your attention to a different direction. He didn't want to touch that one. Like, that's a possibility. And then he just moved on. So that's something for Vance Joseph to take into account, that they're having issues on the left side of that offensive line. And that might be a major weakness to be able to exploit. Okay, I got two more for you from McVay, and I want to play one of them that I've already played for you from the four-minute offense, but it sets up the second part of the question, which is kind of funny. You should have seen Sean McVay kind of not quite roll his eyes, but the body language of frustration that he normally never shows in a press conference was there. He does his Monday pressers on Zoom from his office. He doesn't want to go anywhere, or you know, he just wants to be able to turn the computer off and the presser's over. Well, this is how the question started.
The Rams are two games under 500 for the first time since you got there.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I mean, you could almost hear his body language. I realize technically that doesn't make any sense, but it's so true. You could almost hear his body language right there. Oh, well, I didn't know that. And if it went by too fast, she said, it's the first time you've ever been below, two games below 500 as the head coach of the Rams. It is a pretty good stat. But of course, I mean, he pounces on it. But then she goes into a legitimate question about that and said, is this the most adversity you have faced as a head coach?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I mean, there's been a bunch of different adverse moments, different things that you go through, you know, whether it's losing a Super Bowl in a very humbling fashion or having the three-game skid that we had before. We had a three-game skid in 2019 after we started 3-0. So this is another example of adversity. But that's one of the things that's great about sports is, you know, part of life is handling adversity and dealing with the different circumstances and situations. And what I'm interested in is, hey, let's continue to figure out how do we improve? How do we address these things? How do we stay connected in spite of some of these adverse moments and different things that we're working through? And for that, you know, that's where we're at. But, you know, you got to be able to move forward. You know, it's a tough pill to swallow the way that we lost yesterday, like I mentioned to you guys. The only thing that does feel better is when you close the book on the Bucs game and then you shift your focus towards trying to have a good week of preparation and ultimately trying to lead to a good performance that's in alignment with playing the kind of football that we want to be able to play. But yeah, there's been some, no doubt, some good adversity that we face, some different things relative to injuries and all those kinds of things. But that's a part of it, and this is what you sign up for.
If the Cardinals really would have done anything versus Seattle, prove that they understand the play clock and how to manage a game, if Kyler wouldn't have fumbled, if they could have got the ball to D-Hop after the opening drive, if the defense could have made stops in the fourth quarter, if they would have shown any signs of life against Seattle, I think I'd pick the Cardinals to beat the Rams. I feel uncomfortable even saying it, because they are the defending world champions, but there is so much commotion, so much strife right now in that locker room, offense versus defense, that the Rams are just a shell of who they were last year. So I think they're ripe. There's just two things. They've got Sean McVay and Aaron Donald. Who do the Cardinals have? Yeah. They've got Cliff Kingsbury and they've lost Buda Baker. That's what I think. That's the most frustrating thing. Is this is an extremely winnable game. This is a game in your division on the road. What should be the hardest thing to do in football would be to win road divisional games. Opponents know each other. Coaches know each other. There's been no changes to the offensive and defensive coordinators in the last couple of years. You've got two teams that played three times last year. I mean, you know everything about the other team. And yet the Rams are in shambles. This should be a win. And yet there's no way I'm betting on the Cardinals. No way. Because they've got, their issues to me are worse than the Rams. All right, coming up next. Got a lot of things to talk about. It's Research by Doug. Research by Doug. Insiders is coming up. And good news for the Suns, but not in the short term. It's next on Doug Franz Unplugged. The Suns news, I don't have any sound for you, but the Suns news is pretty interesting and pretty important. Cam Johnson had a portion of his meniscus removed in what was labeled as a successful surgery. He's listed as out for 1 to 2 months. Well, if you want to split the difference, 6 weeks, I told you in the 4-minute offense, that's going to get you right around Christmas, the Wednesday of the week of Christmas. Christmas, I believe, is on it's on a Friday or a Saturday, though. So it's more of a weekend Christmas. So the Wednesday before is 6 weeks from today. So that's right in the middle of the range of 1 to 2 weeks, or excuse me, 1 to 2 months. That's a big deal. That's important for Cam Johnson. I think the big question with Cam Johnson, and he's in a contract year, is can this young man stay healthy? Usually when you have these little nicks that seem to knock him out for weeks at a time, you question, is that young man doing the things he needs to be doing for preventative maintenance on the body? Is he working out hard enough to keep his body in the kind of shape that it can absorb more contact, or it can, you stretch enough that, you know, if you hyperextend something, let's say that, you know, you do enough stretching that you're going to be able to rebound from that, things like that. And from what I've been told, there's no doubt he does that. It's not even a question. Like, the one thing you don't do is question Cam Johnson's work ethic. So that's kind of got to scare you, because if you could question his work ethic, maybe you would at least be able to make one of two decisions. Okay, we believe we can help change him. We believe he's going to see the light of this because of this injury. So let's sign him to either a max contract or a big contract extension, because we think his durability is going to go up. Or you say, we're not interested in signing him because we don't believe he works hard enough. Once you take those two things off the table, I don't know how, if you're James Jones, you handle it. I mean, maybe, and I don't like this opinion. Okay, I mean, if I'm ready to give you an opinion I don't even like, but maybe you offer him a contract extension, and you explain to him, we're not trying to lowball you. We're not offering you this contract extension to offend you. And we full well know you might look at it and say, well, I can get more on the open market. And you're probably right. You can. But we don't want to break the bank unless we know you're durable, unless we know how healthy you are. So therefore, we're not going to give you the money that your production dictates that you should receive, because the most important ability is availability. And we're concerned about you being able to stay healthy for an 82-game season. And that's how you approach it. And I think that's how you have to approach it. You're not going to find, listen, I'm a big Cam Johnson fan of the person. I love listening to him talk. I love his attitude. I love his work ethic. I love what he brings to this team. Yet, you can't be paying guys to be on the bench. And this happens once a year, every year. Now, not to the level of 1 to 2 months, but every year he gets a significant injury and he's out for 2 or 3 weeks. And at some point, you got to say, this might be genetic, or if you want to call it bad luck, call it bad luck. So tough break for him, but positive news that it's only 1 to 2 months. The other injury is Chris Paul. Kind of stepped funny getting around a screen, heel injury, checked himself out of the game against Portland. Now they're in Minnesota, in the game against Philly. Now they're in Minnesota tonight. Tip-off is at 6 o'clock. Chris Paul listed as questionable. I think that's huge. The way they rank your availability, it goes, you know, he's ready, then it's probable, questionable, doubtful, out. So the five categories. So he's right in the middle. And very, very rarely do you not play when you're listed as questionable. In the NBA, you're listed as questionable. It means we're going to go through warmups. And I don't mean just layups when they announce, here come your sons, you know, anything like that. I mean heavy workout before the game to make sure he's good. And if he says he's good, then he plays. And that's probably going to be the case. And listing him as questionable. So that's a shocker. I kind of thought he might miss. I still kind of feel like he might miss. I mean, if Chris Paul says, hey, I'm ready, of course, you play him. You play him. but I could see them being a little cautious with Chris Paul or trying to talk him out of playing. Let me tell you something that I think might shock you. Coyotes have a game against the Islanders coming up on Thursday, and no, that's not what's shocking. If the Coyotes win that game, they're 500. What just happened? Hey, wait, how did this happen? And some of the losses have just been 7-2, 8-something. I mean, they've been getting pummeled in a couple of their games. Yet if they beat the Islanders, they're 6-6-1. They have a 14-game road trip. They're 2-0 on the road trip. Game one, they're down 2-0. 2-0. In the third period. They come back on Washington, they win 3-2. Last night in Buffalo, 23 seconds into the game, Krause puts one home.
It was huge because we have a ton of respect for Buffalo. The way they create their offense, their possession team, you know, they are really active offensively. So for all those reasons, taking the lead early was really good for us because now we didn't have to chase the game, and it's a good feeling sometimes to protect the lead.
I can understand if Buffalo feels like that this is an undeserved win for the Coyotes. I really do. But I would not feel that way. Here's why I say that. If you didn't see the game last night, Coyotes score in the first 23 seconds. One defenseman leaves the puck for another. Sorry, I didn't write down in my notes who it was. And the second guy coming through behind the net didn't even know the puck was there. So the puck's lying right there on the ice next to the goal. And it's absolutely shocking. Well, then being able to actually see it quickly enough is Michelli, and he, boom, passes it right through the crease, and Lawson Krause puts it home. So 23 seconds in, it's 1-0. Here's Lawson Krause.
It was just a forecheck like we talked about. And, you know, I think it was Michelli who was second in there right away and, you know, bounce off to off a skate right to a stick, and then obviously made a nice backdoor pass over to me. I almost missed it up high, but, you know, we'll take those.
The next two goals, and in hockey, you still credit the person that is the last person on the ice to touch it for your team. So Michelli gets that assist to Krause. He scores near the end of the first, and then Liam O'Brien scores early in the third to give the Coyotes a 3-1 lead. Here's what's crazy about both of those two goals. And that is they were both knocked in by Dylan Cousin. Dylan Cousins is in soccer. I love this term. I know I said it in the 4-minute offense, but in soccer, we call it an own goal. Like nobody gets credit for it. You don't get credit for a goal in soccer if it's knocked in by a defender. And by the way, just so we're clear, I never scored a goal on my own goalie. Ha. I did have two assists, though, against my own goalie, where I did just something ridiculous, and then my pass was stolen and somebody else kicked it in for the other team. So I helped the other team score two goals, but I didn't score on myself. So think about that if you're the Sabres. 23 seconds into the game, a defenseman leaves the puck for another one. It's sitting right there. Boom, you get a cheese ball goal on a bad, bad turnover. And then two goals are scored, one off a skate, one off a stick of the same guy, and you're up 3-1. Throw in a Clayton Keller empty net or you lose 4-1. I understand if Buffalo feels like that's just a crock for those goals to be scored that way. But the reason why I would say I would still blame Buffalo and give all the credit for the win for the Coyotes is, how do you score those own goals? You score them because you've got the puck in the offensive third. Offensive third is soccer term. You've got the forecheck was working so great. They played so hard against Buffalo that then that gave you the opportunity for those happenstance bounces to happen. I don't know what happenstance means, but it gave you the opportunity for the happenstance bounces to occur because you were so aggressive on the forecheck.
Anytime you can play with a lead in this league, it's obviously beneficial to the end game. And, you know, we did a great job ever since then. And, you know, we played with pace, we played with purpose, and it was just a great overall team game tonight.
That's Lawson Crouse again. And what was really cool about the third goal, Liam O'Brien's goal, it happened at the 2:24 mark of the third. And the reason why that's important, well, let me explain that. If you're not a hardcore hockey person, they do it backwards clockwise. So the 2:24 mark means 2:24 into so I shouldn't say at the 2:24 mark, because if you say 2:24 mark, you really do mean 2:24 on the clock. But when you just say at 2:24 in hockey, that literally means, let me do the math, 17:36. So that, you know, there's, you know, 17 and a half minutes on the clock when this goal happens. But for the first time for me watching hockey, they have a Zamboni malfunction. Something happened in between the second and third period, and they had to actually tow the Zamboni off the ice. The third period started like 20 minutes late. So you're sitting in a 2-1 game on the road, and now you're starting 20 minutes late. I don't know if that messed with the Sabres' heads. I don't know if they felt like, I got a dinner reservation, I want to go home, and it didn't matter because the Coyotes are just moving on to New York City. I don't know how that worked, but the Sabres were just asleep at the wheel at the beginning of that. Well, so was the Zamboni driver, I guess. But it was, I was so happy with that joke that I distracted myself. The man, am I distracted today. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. It is so strange. I am so jacked up about the Bobcats win and that great phone call that I had yesterday that I'm just, my mind just goes today. That is so not like me. I don't know if you've picked up on how disjointed I've been today. But anyway, it's such a big deal that Buffalo just could not handle the Zamboni issue. Here's Lawson Crouse on it.
I mean, we almost couldn't believe it at the start. A few of us came out and we were just chuckling. Obviously, credit to the crew. They got it off. Took some time, but they got it off. And we were just, you know, we were pretty loose in between that break. And then as soon as they told us 5 minutes, we flipped the mind switch and, you know, realized what we had to do to get the win.
Okay, this trip, they could easily fall on their face. 14-game trip. They still got 12 games left. But this is a really interesting stretch, what they're going to do here for the next week. They've got the dreaded 3 games in 4 nights. Okay, always, always difficult, always a problem when you've got to go through that. But all three are in New York. So if you're in the middle of a 14-game trip, aren't you going to like at least you're in one location and that's where they'll be? So they don't have anything to worry about from that standpoint. Also, just in case you wondered how it goes, it's at the Islanders on Thursday night, at the New Jersey Devils on Saturday night, at the Rangers on Sunday night. So Thursday night, you have Friday off, and then you've got a back-to-back against Devils and Rangers. So I think what they're going to do is get into town today and everybody have a nice dinner. You know, go out tonight in New York, have a nice dinner. Obviously, you still have a game tomorrow. Have your morning skate. And then you got Islanders on Thursday. And then you got an off day again on Friday afternoon in New York. Then you play the back-to-back. The key of what I'm explaining is you got 4 days in New York in the same bed. At least you're in the same hotel room. You're not traveling anymore. You're in a city. Then, even though they don't have a home game, they've got 4 days till their next game, and their next game is just up the street in Vegas. So they can fly home Sunday night, be with their families, have probably an off day on Monday altogether, then practice on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then head up to Vegas and play the Knights on Thursday. Now let's imagine they do well. Can I be like, I don't think they're really going to take 2 out of 3, but I didn't think they'd start 2-0. So let's have some fun here. You take 2 out of 3, you're 4-1 at the beginning of your 14-game road trip. You're above 500 for the year. You would actually be one of the wild card teams. They're only a point behind Calgary right now for a playoff spot. Yes, I realize I'm talking playoffs even before Thanksgiving. I realize that's a little bit of an ignorant point on my part, but I'm just explaining how maybe this road trip brings the team together in such a way that nobody expected. And if they even go close to 500 on this road trip. If they're anywhere near 7-7, I would say if they even get 12 points on this road trip, then you've got this gluttony of home games the rest of the way. Who knows? Who knows? I just thought that was really cool. It's time for the world-famous Research by Doug. Officially, it was once known as Research and Doug, but legally I cannot use that phrase and I could be arrested for using the phrase Research and Doug. So therefore, we will not use that phrase, Research and Doug, and we will use the phrase Research by Doug. There have been 79 games decided by one score this year. The most such games through the first 9 weeks of the season all time. Also, there have been 104 games that were within one score at some point in the fourth quarter of this season. The most such games through the first 9 weeks in NFL history. What does that mean? That means this year coaching matters more than any other year in the history of the NFL. With all of these one possession games, one bad timeout, one poor use of the play clock, one bad fourth down decision will cost you the game. Seattle's Kenneth Walker III has five straight games with a rushing touchdown. That's tied with Kurt Warner in 83 for the longest by a rookie in franchise history. Two of those five games were against the Cardinals. Tampa Bay quarterback Tom Brady threw a game-winning touchdown pass with 9 seconds remaining in Tampa Bay's 16-13 comeback win over the Rams. That was his 55th career game-winning drive, passing Peyton Manning for the most all-time. Brady also passed 100,000 career passing yards when you include the postseason. No one's ever done that. Aaron Rodgers threw two red zone interceptions in the same game for the first time in his career. Minnesota wide receiver Justin Jefferson has 19 career games with at least 100 receiving yards, tied with Odell Beckham Jr. and Randy Moss for the most such games by a player in their first three seasons in the NFL. The catch is the Vikings still have 9 games remaining. All 4 teams in the AFC East have a winning record. Miami wide receiver Tyreek Hill has 1,104 receiving yards this season. That passes Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce for the most receiving yards by a player in his team's first 9 games of a season since the Super Bowl was created. The Utah Jazz are 9-3 and in first place in the West. The Chicago Bears rushed for 252 yards against Miami on Sunday. That means they joined the 76 Steelers as the only teams in the Super Bowl era that have ever rushed for 225 yards in 4 straight games. Staying with the Bears, Justin Fields rushed for a career-high 178 yards. That passed Michael Vick for the most rushing yards by a quarterback in a regular season game since at least 1940. It could be longer, but the records aren't as good pre-1940. Fields also totaled 4 touchdowns, 3 in the air, 1 on the ground. That means he's the first player in NFL history with at least 3 passing touchdowns, 150 rushing yards, and a rushing touchdown in the same game. Dusty Baker is 73 years old. He passed Jack McKeon as the oldest manager in the history of baseball to win a World Series. Las Vegas wide receiver Devontae Adams registered 10 receptions, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns against the Jacksonville Jaguars. The 14 career games now with 10, 101, meaning receptions, yards, and a touchdown. It's the most in NFL history. Week 9 was the first week in the Super Bowl era where 4 games finished with the exact same score. Chargers beat the Falcons 20-17. The Jets beat the Bills 20-17. The Vikings did the same thing to the Commanders, and the Chiefs won 20-17. Even crazier, all 4 losers were leading in the fourth quarter of that game. Derrick Henry broke Earl Campbell's franchise record with his 74th rushing touchdown. Earl Campbell played 91 games with the Oilers. Henry needed 3 extra games to break his record with the Titans. It was also Henry's 20th career game with multiple rushing touchdowns. Joe Mixon is the first player in Bengals history with 4 total touchdowns and a half. And if you played against Mixon in fantasy football, sorry, he had 45.1 points in the first half against Carolina. And that's the most any player even had in a game. Astros shortstop Jeremy Peña, October 23rd, won the ALCS MVP. November 1st, became the first rookie shortstop ever to win a gold glove. November 3rd, became the first rookie shortstop ever to hit a home run in the World Series. November 5th, became the first non-pitcher in baseball history to ever win the World Series MVP as a rookie. For the first time since 2010, Alabama has two losses before they play Auburn. Patrick Mahomes is the first player in the Super Bowl era with at least 400 yards and a touchdown passing and 60 yards and a touchdown rushing in the same game. Before Sunday, the only player in NFL history with 150 rushing yards and two passing touchdowns in the same game was Walter Payton. On Sunday, Justin Fields not only did it, but he threw three touchdown passes, making him the only player in the history of the game to do that. Josh Allen has 34 rushing touchdowns in his career. That's five more than every single Bills running back he's ever handed the ball to. C.J. Gardner-Johnson had five interceptions as a member of the Saints, playing 43 games for New Orleans. He was traded to the Eagles. He's got five interceptions in his last four games and leads the NFL. There's your research by Doug. Coming up next, oh, you've got a reason to listen to Versus Vegas presented by KingCappers.com. Both of us are hot. Keep the heater going next on Doug Franz Unplugged. It's time for Versus Vegas. Jerry, shall we dance? Oh yeah. Okay, it's not the 5-0 Monday, but 3-1, 3-1. All right, this hockey thing, I'm telling you. I don't know what it is. It was just like last year. The minnow somehow knows hockey. I don't know why I get this stuff right. Oh, yeah. This is Versus Vegas. It's presented by KingCappers.com. I got hockey. King Cappers, they're on fire in soccer. Actually, if you look, they're on fire in NHL, too. So here's how this works. If you're new to Doug Franz Unplugged, Versus Vegas at the end of every show. KingCappers.com is the actual sports handicapper. So if you're ready to move from gambling to sports investing, then let's cash. And you go to KingCappers.com and find a package that you like the best. And then you use the promo code ARMY, as in Unplugged Army, and you receive a discount on anything you jump on. So that's my friends at KingCappers.com. I have a good time with Jerry on these, and he gives his free play as well. So I give you what I did yesterday. Then you get Jerry's free play, and then I give you my games. But remember, I'm the minnow in the room. These guys use analytics. I just look at games and say, well, you know what? I've been watching this team, and I like the way they've been playing. So that's what I do. There's a little bit more science behind what King Cappers does. So my 3-1 yesterday, I was pretty heavy on the money line. I went Philly and New Jersey in the NHL to win on the money line. Flyers won 5-1. If you care about hockey, what is going on with the Flyers? And New Jersey won on the money line against Calgary 3-2. I had Tampa Bay covering the puck line against Edmonton. They didn't cover because they didn't win. Edmonton won 3-2. And I should have taken my Bobcats -2 last night. I didn't, but I took the over. Very confident on the over 50.5. Bobcats win 37-21 over Miami. I was pretty confident that the Bobcats were going to win, but I didn't want my emotions to get in the way. That's why I didn't play that as a play of who was going to win. But man, Ohio overs are crushing it this year. I know our defense isn't very good, and we can score on almost anybody. So I loved the over and ended up with 58 points with the total being at 50.5. So I felt pretty good. So I went 3-1. The numbers are now 594 and 523. I'm starting to look a little better, Jerry. But your pick yesterday, holy crap. I am eating lunch at yesterday at the Auction Indian Community's great sports bar that they have in the child multi-tainment center area. So a huge screen has the game on. I sit down. It's already 1-1 and the game's like 15 minutes old. It was crazy. What a pick. What a pick by King Cappers. All right, your turn, Jerry. What you got for us today?
Our soccer selections continue to be red hot as Bayern Munich and Werder Bremen both score in the first 10 minutes and we cash our soccer free play, moving our record to 10-1-1. Jump on the Early Bird World Cup soccer package at kingcappers.com and get ready to start winning. Wednesday selection takes us to NCAA basketball, where UT Martin faces Youngstown State. We recommend a play on Youngstown State -8. Best of luck and let's cash.
Boy, that's awesome. I mean, I'm a college basketball nut, Jerry. And for you to be jumping on the Youngstown States, that's hardcore analytic knowledge right there. And hey, let me double down on his free plug. Think about how hot they have been on soccer. So listen, I will never sit here and try to talk you into gambling if it's something you're religiously against or you're just not for it. But from a fun standpoint, and if you're into making a little bit of money and you see how great these guys have been in soccer, that's a great idea to jump on right now, the World Cup package. Okay, my games for you. This is weird. I usually really study the travel schedules of teams, especially in the NHL, because I think back-to-backs are evil in the NHL. Well, Vancouver is at Montreal, and both teams played last night. So I'm going to take Vancouver on the money line. My reasoning is Vancouver was at Ottawa, so they didn't have to cross the border. They didn't have to go through customs. And with Montreal being in Detroit, they had to go through customs to get over to get back home. So I'm going to take Vancouver on the money line against the Canadiens. I got Anaheim plus a goal and a half against Minnesota, as it's not a long trip or anything, but the Wild were at LA last night taking on the Kings. Anaheim's not that good, so you might not want to touch me on that one. That's a little bit of a stretch, but I like to follow my formula, so I'll play it. NBA, no reasoning. I just think Orlando stinks. So I got Dallas at Orlando -6.5. And I hate to do it. I hate to do it. I'm sorry. But until I know about, you know what? I'm scratching this game out. I've got Minnesota. I got the T-Wolves +1.5 against Phoenix. I just scratched it out. I think Chris Paul might play. And if he's going to play, then I don't like that game. So I'm not touching it. So never mind. I scratched it out. I saved myself. And I got a college basketball one for you, Jerry. How about San Diego, the University of, not San Diego State, -6 against Florida Gulf Coast. Florida Gulf Coast just pulled off a massive upset, beating their old coach, Andy Enfield, at USC. Well, when you've got a program like that, that just came off a win of that magnitude, there's no way they can come back from that cloud and go 2-0 in their West Coast trip. So I don't think Florida Gulf Coast comes anywhere near San Diego. So I'll take San Diego -6. That does it for this version of Doug Franz Unplugged. Thanks a lot for your loyalty to the show. Thanks a lot for your prayers. Big week for us with my conversations that are upcoming this week for my future employment and a big interview for my wife tomorrow. We are so blessed to have your friendship and your support. We can't thank you enough. Same thing with Parker and Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. They are dear friends of the Franz family. They've treated us so well, and we trust them greatly with our home. And keep in mind, please, we were customers of Parker and Sons before I've ever talked about them on the radio, because they had already blown us away by their service, so it made it easy for us to stick with them. And oh, by the way, you want me to endorse you? Hey, great. I'd be glad to, because you've already treated my family well. 602-2-REPAIR is the phone number. That's 602, the number 2, then REPAIR for Parker and Sons. My music ended. So Bell's, Rosati's, Fuchsal Media, and Burrito Express. Cheers.